can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to the 17th, give or take, episode of More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeMars. And just so you know, we've recorded 17 episodes, but some of them we've kept pieces of because we want to put them together in sort of a highlight reel. So that's what you have to look forward to in your future.
But today is the present. So we're going to be talking about lots of interesting things, as we always do. And Anne-Marie, of course, had lots of opinions on what we should be talking about today, again, as she always does. So I guess we will just kick it off, getting right into the advice that you want to give people, whether they're asking for it or not.
Yes, I'm just brimming with advice. And when we put out on Twitter, what would you guys like to hear? There are a lot of people that want advice on different topics. So today's advice is on parenting. So we'll start with something a friend of mine told me way back when that had to do with coaching your own kid, but I think it applies to parenting or teaching or coaching. And that is, if you can honestly say to yourself that you're doing it for your kid and not for you, that you won't go wrong. I mean, yeah, you'll make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But it's like Maya Angelou said in one of her books, I did the best with what I knew. And when I knew better, I did better. So I think that's the first thing to keep in mind is to be honest with yourself. Am I really doing this for my child or so it looks good to the neighbors, to the teacher? Am I doing it because it's easier for me to just give in than say, no, you cannot go to the fair because you didn't, you know, you skipped school today? So I think that's my first piece of advice. Do you want to dive in, mother of three?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because I feel like we're in this different era, and I feel like it changed between maybe when I was born and Julie was born, and now it's changed more since I had my own kids, which I feel like parents are, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of almost this whole helicopter parent mentality, though. So where it's like, do they, and I don't want to say they don't know what's best for their kid, but they all of a sudden have this standard that they think is what their child needs to be hitting or where they need to be, how they need to be treated. Or, you know, this whole, I come back to when I taught college and there's this, everybody deserves an A if they turn in all their work mentality. And I don't know how you connect that with parents, because I think on one side, yes, all parents want their children to do well and think they should do well. But how do you balance that? Because at the same time, maybe your kid isn't deserving of an A.
It reminds me of this story that I always repeat, and I don't know if it's true or not, so anybody listening is an entomologist specializing in butterflies or caterpillars, let us know. But the story goes that this woman was watching this butterfly trying to get out of its chrysalis in the ground, and she felt really sorry for it. And so she reached down, she very gently pulled off the chrysalis. And the story is that that's how butterflies pump the blood into their wings, and because it never had that struggle, it spent the rest of its life stunted on the ground. Now, I don't know how true that is from a biological perspective, but I think it makes a really good story. And again, going back to, are you doing this for you or for your kid? Some of the hardest things that I did for my children were standing back and letting them fall on their own. And that's really hard. And I know that there's been times when people have told me, oh, your mom didn't really care about you. She would have rushed in and rescued you here, or she would have done this. Like when Rhonda was competing, there were times when I would send her to tournaments without me. Nadine Anthony, if you follow wrestling at all, she's Victoria Anthony's mom. Vicky was on the world team for wrestling, and they used to be at the same judo club as us. And sometimes she would go with Nadine, who is a mom, doesn't know anything about judo at all, really nice lady. And I did that deliberately because I wanted her not to have to rely on me, to realize that she could do things on her own without relying on a coach, that it was her. You know, same thing. Jennifer, when she was in college, she came home one break and I asked her, did she want to do some work for us? And we paid pretty decently and we needed somebody to do data entry, and Jen's really smart and really good. And she's like, oh, mom, I just finished a semester. It's so much work. No. And she laid around and watched TV, old movies, you know, Jennifer, all Christmas break. And then she went back up to San Francisco and she called me up and she said, I don't have any money and my student loan hasn't come in yet. I'm eating cereal three times a day. And I mean, my baby doesn't have enough to eat. And I was going to send her a check. And Dennis said, don't you do it. He said, if you do, you're going to be sorry, because she, first of all, eats cereal three times a day a lot when she's home. And secondly, she had the opportunity to work and make money, and she didn't do it. And now she needs to suffer the consequences. And that's a really hard thing to do. Stand back and watch your child suffer consequences that you know are going to happen.
Well, and I think it's not even so much that, but I think this whole idea of encouraging your kids to advocate for themselves. I remember Ava was in, she must have been in kindergarten. She had something that she got back, piece of paper, you know, paper, and it had been checked wrong. And I looked at it and, you know, it wasn't wrong. You know, I'm old enough that I understand, you know, multiple, or, you know, adding two-digit numbers or adding one-digit numbers in the case of kindergarten. And she had, you know, Ava's very advanced when it comes to school, and so she kind of was very upset. You know, this is right. I don't know why she put it wrong. And, you know, and so I said, well, you know what you need to do? You need to go back and all, you know, talk to your teacher and ask her why it's wrong, you know? And so then Ava went back, and so I, you know, said, well, what did she say? And Ava said, well, she just said I was right. You know, but this idea of teaching her and forcing her that I'm not going to ride in there or storm in there and say, hey, you marked this wrong, but if you really believe that it's wrong, now go and ask for it. Now, if she'd come back and said the teacher said it's still wrong, then I probably would have said something, because I know that it was something like, you know, 7 + 6 = 13. But I think there's something really important that gets lost in a lot of cases, where parents go in and demand that their kids be treated differently, or the different standards apply, or it just loses something when they need to actually stand on their own two feet. They don't have that ability.
I agree completely, of course. Pick your own battles. And there's two reasons for that. One reason is because it teaches the child to fight their own battles. I teach judo at Gompers Middle School in South LA. And if a kid gets in trouble, say they didn't do their homework or they had some problem in class, we tell them you cannot come back to judo until you go man up, or woman up, as the case may be, to that teacher, talk it over, and whatever needs to be done for them to talk to Mr. Gonzalez, who is the teacher on site that oversees this program, and say, yeah, it's okay if Maria comes back to class. You need to take that responsibility, not your mom. It teaches them to stand up for themselves. So I think that's one really important reason. And the other is, parents get exhausted, right? You go and you fight over every little time they didn't get an answer marked right, you're going to run out of energy. You know, I remember when you wanted to pole vault, and they told us at the high school that pole vaulting was a boys' sport in the state where we were living at the time. And I put on a suit and I walked in and met with the athletic director and said, look at me. Do I look like I never heard of Title IX and I will not sue you? Because if that's what you see, I recommend you look away and look again. And sometime after that, pole vaulting also became a girls' sport in the state.
Well, and I think it's not just parents get exhausted, but I think schools, administrators, or coaches, or whoever it is that the parents are always going after, they get exhausted too. And so, you know, last year we decided that we knew, you know, we know where you know your kids. It kind of comes back to what's in your kid's best interest. And we knew that our daughter, our oldest daughter, was just head and shoulders above what the grade standards were. And I mean, we could see they do a blended learning. So we could see that she was doing sixth grade math in second grade, and that her reading was, you know, again, sixth grade, late fifth grade reading in second grade. And we realized that we thought, and this is something they don't really do anymore, but we thought that something needed to change dramatically enough. So we went and we asked the principal, you know, if she could skip third grade and go directly into fourth. And it was not something the school has ever done, because I think that's not something really that they do at all, hardly anymore. It used to be a lot more common. But we realized that we need to do something. And I think part of the reason that they were willing and receptive to listen to us, obviously, I mean, they could look at all the scores and see the paper, you know, where she ranked and all that, but was also because we're not those people that are coming in every 5 minutes demanding X or Y. And so when you take a step back and when you come forward and you say something, it's kind of, I'm saying lots of conversations, like you might be in meetings and there's people who never talk and then they talk and all of a sudden everybody turns and listens because nobody's, you know, if they're saying something, they must have something really important to say. And I think for parents who are always rushing in there and jumping in and having these, you know, important things that their kid needs to this, it starts to lose the weight that it would carry if you weren't in there every 5 minutes demanding that something be changed.
And the flip side of that is when you know that it's the right thing, and everybody who you might generally want their good opinion, whether it's the principal of the school or your mother-in-law or whoever, is telling you, well, that's not right. You know, you shouldn't do that. That you have to stand firm and say, well, I believe this is the right thing for my child. And, you know, I've done that with all of you kids. You know, when Julia had the opportunity to go to boarding school, and there were a lot of people thought I was the worst mother in the entire world. I mean, that's not the thing that people do in America, is send their kids off to school. You know, it's less than 1% of kids. How? And Julia even had friends say, oh, I feel so bad for you that your mother doesn't love you, that she sent you to school. You know what? This is a great academic environment for her, and she's doing great. And I don't care what you people think. This is best for my child.
Well, I think it comes down to, too, surrounding your kids by other people that believe in what's best for them and an understanding of what's best for them. So, you know, with Ava's school, the principal did understand what was best for her and was willing to say, okay, we don't generally do this, but this is a fit and this is what's best for this child. And you can look at your kid the way that you look at them, which is not as a number, but as someone's kid. And that's something actually I talk a lot about when people say, well, you're selling to schools, you're selling to individuals. And I say, well, part of the reason why I think we're going after individuals is because when you deal with schools, you can't help but say there's an administrator that's making all these purchasing level type of decisions. And they're looking at it from, these are thousands of students. And they're not looking at it as the way a parent is. And a parent is looking at, this is my one kid. Or, you know, I mean, maybe you have a couple kids, but this is my child. And there's a lot more vested in that. And I think you make much different decisions when you look at people, kids, as individuals and people, because that's what they are, as opposed to kind of statistics.
Well, and to quote another member of the Anthony family, Tony Anthony, Vicky's dad, we were both at a judo tournament, some national competition, watching our kids. And he turns to me and he said, our kids are commodities to these coaches. If they get pregnant, get injured, you know, get into drugs, whatever, they will go and find another athlete. But these are the only children we'll ever have. And this is something for another podcast, but I'd really like to talk sometime about how if your child is a top athlete or in the entertainment business, or there are those areas where no one but you really has your child's best interest at heart, unlike the school where your kids go.
Hey, Jonah, you know what I love? Seven Generation Games.
I know, they're the best. I got them for all my nieces and nephews. They teach math and social studies. They love the games.
I wanted to get them for my niece in third grade, but she only has an iPad. I just wish they had an app.
But they do.
What?
Yes, Making Camp. It's the first app from Seven Generation Games, and it's coming out in the Apple App Store in October.
So it will just be in the App Store?
Yes. All you'll have to do is search for Making Camp. Or you can go to the Seven Generation Games site right now and enter your email to be notified as soon as the app is live.
Wow, that's awesome. And they will still sell the other games too, right?
Yep, you can still get Spirit Lake, Fish Lake, and Forgotten Trail just by going to 7generationgames.com/buy to get them today.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, brought to you by 7 Generation Games, games that make you smarter. And I know I say that all the time, but it really is true. And I notice it while I'm playing the games to test them, that things like, what's 11 times 10 that I can just pull off at the top of my head. What's 11 times 11? 121. That better be right. Is it right?
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey, games that make you smarter. All right. Speaking of smarter or advice. So we were talking earlier about parenting. And one thing people have asked about sometimes is punishment. And I believe in not whacking your kids. I think that the only time that you should hit your child is the same time it would be all right if you hit an adult. So if you hit me first and you're 13 years old, I've heard people say, oh, I couldn't hit my kid back because it's child abuse. I'll tell you what, you're 15 and you hit me, I'm going to haul off and sock you in. Now, I don't think I could ever smack one of my children as hard as I would if I was in a street fight, but nobody has the right to hit you. Same thing, if you're dashing out into the street, I might snatch you and pull you back. Like the one time, and Jennifer still remembers it, and she's long past three, I caught her when she was three and Rhonda was two, and Jen had her, was going to wash her hair, and she put a handful of laundry detergent in her hair, and she was trying to get the top off the bleach to wash her hair with it. And of course, that would have blinded her. I hauled Jennifer off there, and I smacked her good. And she still remembers it. But she never tried to bleach her sister's hair again. Now, people have different views on this. My friend Roddy Ferguson, who is a former Olympian, a PhD, really successful businessman, he says to me, I'm an African-American male, and I'm raising a son who is going to be an African-American man in this country. And if you pay any attention to the news, the world around you, you realize that there are situations where my son could be at high risk. And so I feel no reluctance to take a switch to him if I feel like I'm teaching him to behave in a manner that will save his life. We'll have to have Ridey on the show sometime because I do understand his point of view. You have a different point of view, Maria?
I respect everybody has different opinions on that. For me, I think one of the really defining issues is the fact that I think hitting your kids teaches them a couple of things, and I don't think any of the things are good. I think one, it's, you know, I'm bigger than you, therefore I will hurt you and there's not much you can do. I think that's a terrible message to be sending.
From the trench bowl in Matilda.
Exactly. And then the other thing I think is, as somebody who has two daughters, I think the idea of instilling in them at any age, at any point, that it's okay to let someone hit you because you had it coming or because you did something bad or because you deserved it just doesn't translate into any kind of lesson that I want them to have as they go out later in life and building relationships. And I think the way that you're raised and treated as a child, that shapes the way that you approach relationships later in life. So if you're taught, you know what, somebody hit me, but I had it coming because I did something bad, at what point do you realize that that's not necessarily, how do you stop that from translating into a belief that you have when you're an adult that enables things like domestic violence to continue and to be issues in society ongoing, which is a really prevalent problem in our society?
I agree with that completely. And I have always had the belief that no one has the right to beat you. Whether it's physically smacking you or winning over you in a tournament, no one has the right to beat you. And you're exactly right. I think that hitting your child says, it's okay because I can physically do it. And then the flip side of that I hear people say when their child, often the same child that they spanked and smacked to get to behave, now they turn, you know, they're 15, 16 years old. And I've had parents say to me, well, he's bigger than me now. He's 6'2". There's not a thing I could do with him. And I think, are you kidding me? It's like my friend Pat Burris said years ago. He was talking about coaching, but again, I think it applies to parenting or teaching. He said, I'm 54 years old. I don't need a 15-year-old friend. And his point was not that he didn't care about the children in his care, but that it was a different role, that it was his job to point them in the direction that they should go. And if you're an adult, you should be able to be the adult in the room. So, for example, if your 16-year-old child isn't doing what they're supposed to do, perhaps you don't want to pay for their cell phone. You can have it disconnected. You can have the cable disconnected. If they have a car, you can not pay their car insurance, not give them gas money. When you take them to buy school clothes, they can buy, you know, their clothes at Target instead of at Abercrombie and Fitch. There's a whole bunch of things that you can do.
Well, and I think a lot of it comes to, though, it's this built-up point. So it's by the time they're 6'2" and they're too big, well, if you've taught them that this is the way you control someone by beating them up until they're bigger than you, then you run into an issue. But if you have sat out and worked out whatever works for your family, you know, in terms of, you know, I don't know, taking things away or not letting them do things, then they start to realize that there's consequences beyond, well, somebody will have to hit me and then that will be traumatic or it will suck, but I'll just grin and bear it and still do whatever I want. But if there's more consequences than this kind of fear, I think that's a lot more impactful longer term than physically hitting your kids or anything. Because I think, too, then that involves they're thinking not why I shouldn't be doing this, but they're thinking about how can I not get caught doing this. And I think that's a real problem.
Right. I think there's two points there. One is that you want to be consistent. You want to be consistent in having the punishment fit the crime. Like if you're one of those parents, which God forbid that you are, but if you are, stop it now. If you're one of those parents that hits your child all the time for everything, if they talk back to you, that you slap them. If they didn't do their homework, you slap them. If they didn't do the dishes fast enough, you slap them. After a while, they realize, I'm going to get hit no matter what, so I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And then your kid's really out of control. So you need to make the punishment fit the crime. And the other thing is, you need to be consistent. I was telling Julie about this. A friend of mine is divorced, and he went over to take his daughter and her friend to the county fair. And his daughter had skipped school that day. Even though he was coming to pick her up after school, he came at like 3:00, and she was already been home for a while. And she said, oh, well, you know, I wanted to get to the fair early. And he said, you should have gone to the fair. Or you should have gone to school. You shouldn't have skipped school because I was going to come after school. And she says, oh, Dad, why are you always trying to ruin my mood and ruin my good time? And then after I took her shopping, he says, because, you know, she needed some clothes. She needed some new things. And her mom doesn't buy her enough stuff. And I took her shopping. I went and picked up her and her friend. I took him to the fair. And I was telling her all the time, you shouldn't have skipped school. And I was telling Julia about this, you know, my youngest daughter. And I said to her, if that had been you, what do you think are the odds that you would have gone to the fair? And she said, somewhere around hell freezing over. So you could say all you want, but if you're not, there's no consequences. Don't blame yourself when your kid's out of control.
Well, and sometimes being the parent and punishing your kid, you are actually kind of making sacrifices yourself. Because maybe you're somewhere, maybe you're at a restaurant and they're acting like a complete jerk. And you say, that's it, we have to leave. Or you're at a family party or you're somewhere. And you have to remove them from the situation. So you can't just say, okay, that's it, get out of here. You have to actually pick up and leave and, you know, take them away from the situation. Sometimes, you know, you have to leave the party and that's it. We're done. And it's not enjoyable for anyone, you know, but you as the parent have to kind of model that and say, okay, well, this is what happens when we don't do what we want. Because, yeah, it's easy to say, okay, we're going to leave, we're going to leave, we're going to leave. But after, you know, it's similar to, I'd say, you were saying hitting them, but it just threats after a while. They see through it and they say, okay, well, they're going to say this 50 times, but there's going to be no consequences. So I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing, as opposed to, you know, yeah, there's consequences. It sucks. You have to go with it. But as a parent, you have to actually follow through. Otherwise, it's, you know, you're only as good as your word.
Right. And sometimes that means other people look at you as if you're a bad person. And I think most people, it's normal to not want other people to have a bad opinion of you. I remember a friend of mine telling me about how he was at a judo tournament and his son, who was a little boy, who won all the time, and he happened to have lost at this tournament. And he ran on the street after some ball because they were playing, you know, soccer after the tournament. And he grabbed his boy and he grabbed him and he swatted him because he ran out in the street and it was really dangerous. And he said, you know, I know a lot of people saw that and they were like, oh, he's such a terrible father. You know, he hit his kid for losing. But he said, I wanted him to remember not to do that because he could have got hurt. So in that situation, even though I don't generally, you know, go for smacking your kid, and in that case, I think it was somewhat warranted, and it was more important to him that his son be safe than that other people thought, oh, he's a good guy. I have one more thing.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes parents have difficult situations, like they get divorced, or, you know, in my case, Ron was sick and then he died. And sometimes you're in that situation where you're a single mom, you have maybe you were on drugs and then you got off of them, whatever the case may be. And so there's been several years where your kids did not have the level of consistency that maybe they should. You know, I feel like when you guys were little, a lot of times, you know, Ron was sick and we were driving to hospitals and going to the Mayo Clinic. And then after he passed away, I just worked all the time. And so there were things that went on that perhaps I wasn't there every minute to say, don't do that or do your homework. But then we moved to California and, you know, Jennifer's a prime example. She was kind of used to not having to do stuff because I wasn't around and we would have college babysitters and they didn't really make her do stuff because she was a good kid. She just, for example, if she thought that math or biology was uninteresting, then she would not do any of the work for it because she believed if she didn't think it was interesting, she shouldn't have to do it.
Too bad she didn't have Seven Generation Games to make her excited about math.
That's right. And too bad the Archdiocese of Los Angeles Schools did not share her view about it. If you don't find it interesting, you don't have to do it. Sort of like the Donald Trump view, but of schoolwork. I'm not satisfied. I'm not paying it. But when we moved here, even though it was a long uphill struggle to get her to, look, you have to do this stuff. And I think there was a good number of times she spent just locked in her room with no internet, no cable. And again, like sacrifices. It was a big sacrifice for Dennis because we had to turn the cable off. But in the end, you know, she has a master's degree. She has a teaching credential. And now she suffers with young children who won't do their homework.
That's where you should use. We have a new sound effect. We'll have to put that in here. So we can compare your mwahaha with the real good evil laugh that somebody sent us. Shout out to Mike for the evil laugh.
Okay, so if you want to send us sound effects, evil laughs, info at sevengenerationgames.com. Send your sound effects here.
And if you want to send us money, you can go to sevengenerationgames.com/buy and buy Seven Generation Games. We like money even more than we like sound effects.
Also, we have a new app coming out, Making Camp. We'll do a whole show on it soon, but look for it soon in the App Store.
And if you want to be notified so you don't even have to look for it, we'll just remind you, email info@7generationgames.com, or you can go to our website and click on the little box that says get the app, and it will notify you when it comes.
Yeah, we also have a newsletter that you can get for free, and we put in random stuff about it, tech tips, stuff about teaching.
This week's one was about getting the most out of conferences. So lots of cool, insightful, interesting things.
We have pictures of Native American leaders from 1900 and of Pierre, South Dakota. All kinds of things that you won't find anywhere else.
Pierre, South Dakota being the capital of South Dakota, not a gentleman that we happen to encounter in our travels.
But if you're a guy named Pierre in South Dakota, we'd like for you to buy our games too.